The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, dude, 7-2 Giants, baby. We predicted a win. We both felt good. We said this was one of the first times in a long time we said they should win. They did. Was it pretty? No. But in the words of Al Davis, just win. Just win, baby. And look, there's some things we can talk about as to what they decided to do during the game. But look, man, the Giants are 7-2 heading to play the Detroit Lions. And Chris, there's a really good chance our team is going to be 8-2 before we play the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Not to get too far ahead, but crap, dude. 7-2, Chris. Feels really good. I don't know, man.
And like, no matter what happens Sunday, the Thanksgiving game is going to be huge. I mean, it's
huge.
Incredible, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible. You know, who would have thought that? There's so many people in the press box yesterday, like 7-2. I mean, people were just sitting there like, holy crap, you know? Like,
yeah.
Who the hell saw this coming, man? And you know, I think yesterday was just another example of the little things that this coaching staff sees, man, and does. What they get out of players and what they recognize in players, it's just incredible. Yeah, I don't know what more to say. You know, it's just incredible. Like week after week, you know. And it was funny, Jerry, because the Giants march down the field, you know, and they make it 7-0. And there was like a sense of, you know what? Hey, you know what? Maybe this is going to be an easy one today. I have a feeling, you know, this is going to be like a 10-point, like a little bit of a breather in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I looked at it, I said, when the Giants got the ball back after they forced Houston 3-and-out, I said, okay, if the Giants go down the field here, their second drive, I said, this is going to be a wipe. This is going to be like a 20-point game, 14-point game, you know, stuff in your face in the fourth quarter, watching it, it's over. Not really worried. And then they went into like 3 or 4 consecutive 3-and-outs, and boom, the game was on.
Yeah, right.
They go up 14-3. Houston responds, you know, and then it's a typical Giants fourth quarter. You know, could get ugly. Some breaks went their way. They give up a touchdown, a call back, course of a hold. Consecutive red zone turnovers, you know. What can you say? Just another typical Giants win? Where you look at some things and go, all right, this can't happen again. And some other things that Daniel did was excellent. Of course, Mr. Barkley was just, you know, 35 carries and just remarkable, man. But here they are, 7-2. And they took care of business against a team they should have beat at home. You know, that was the key thing. So,
Chris, they're playing guys now where I feel like the dude from Major League. Remember that movie Major League with Charlie Sheen?
Sure.
And
yeah, one of my favorites.
I think Serrano's walking up and he goes, who's this effing guy? Like, that's literally what I feel like when I'm watching the game now. Like, oh, Pinnock had a sack and a half. Of course he did. Of course. Why wouldn't he? Right? Like, there's guys that are lining up now. Like Hodgins, right? We just signed him. He contributed. It's amazing, dude. It's amazing what this coaching staff is doing. And I want to get into a little bit of if I had one criticism, I just have one, of how the game kind of went, right? We can talk about that, but dude, big picture, 7-2 to do this with this roster. You know, McKinney's out. Of course, Belton steps up and gets an interception, right? They double their interception total for the year in one game because of a play Belton makes. it just seems like these guys are, it's just next man up. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's unbelievable, dude. It feels so good to, like you said, you watch the game and they went down the field and you're like, man, is this going to be like a 20-point blowout or something? Like, what are we seeing
here? How's the feel? Yeah.
Yeah, and then they committed the false start, Anderson. And I texted you because I didn't know if you could see from where you were the reaction.
Yeah, no, we were laughing about it up in the booth, bro. It was funny. Yeah.
Dude, I got to be honest with you. And this is what I mean with Dable, right? And we always talk about it. I love that he picks and chooses his moments to do that, right? Apologies to the Coughlin fans, but if you watch Tom Coughlin on the sidelines, he was aggravated the entire game. He wasn't always complaining to the refs the entire game, but he was pissed off the whole game about something. Dable's attitude's way different. He's much more low-key. And then when something like that happens, it's just, I think that's so important, right? To, when you do that, you get the attention of your team way more when you do that here and there rather than yelling and screaming all the time. Like you said with, you know, sometimes Judge was a little too hard on those guys. But I just think he's hitting not only from a play-calling perspective and putting round pegs in round holes, which is beyond important, but from a psychological perspective, Chris, I just think this coach is hitting all the right buttons with this team. And as a fan, I saw him explode like that. It's like, oh, okay, well, at least Dable's on it. Dable's handling it. Great. Thank God we have him. So,
yeah. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Dude, you know, talked about it numerous times, you know. Hey, this guy is a fiery guy. Yeah. He's a players coach. They love playing for him. But when he feels you make a mental mistake, and false starts is a mental mistake, Jerry.
Yep.
Illegal formations is a mental mistake.
Yeah.
That's what irritates Dable. Like most coaches, don't get me wrong. But as you saw yesterday, Dable will lose it on you, man. When he feels you make a stupid mistake, and I've said this, if you play and you give up a play, you know, you miss a tackle, whatever it might be, Dable's not going to destroy you.
Right.
But when he feels you do something stupid, look out, man. You know?
Yeah, and I loved it. And I just think it reminds me of another coach we once had who was a player's coach who would do that. Whatever. But I thought that was, that's what you want in a coach. You want your coach to react to that the way he should react. And not just rant and rave all game, but to pick and choose their moments. But I want to get into the game a bit, obviously. The one criticism I had, Chris, and not to be nitpicky, I love the first drive, right? It was seven runs, four passes. It seemed like we were able to throw the ball down the field as well, not just run it. Am I wrong in that we ran the ball a bit too much yesterday and became predictable? Like, dude, I get that's our strength. And I know the thing is, well, you can't have it both ways, right? You can't piss and moan against Seattle that all you did was pass and now you run. I just felt like the 3-1 ratio, I think it was like 47-17, we ran all day yesterday. I felt like there were some opportunities in the passing game where, I don't know, dude. Am I making too much of that? Am I wrong there that I felt like we ran it a bit too much? And if we mixed it up more, this game wouldn't have been as close?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the game plan obviously was for, you know, they were going to run to see if the last ranked team could stop the run.
Yeah.
And they basically didn't, you know. They had 191 yards. Whatever was on the ground. And they picked, you know, they took some shots, you know. I shouldn't say downfield shots, but they did some things in the passing games. Obviously, Slayton with two big chunk plays, one for a long touchdown.
Yeah.
And they felt, you know, this was their way to win the game. And Jerry, they were up. I can't argue. I can't really nitpick that. That's what they wanted to do going in. And let's see if Houston stops it. And they really didn't. I mean, it, you know, Barkley with a big day. And that's what that was the game plan. So now, can you sit back and say, well, you know, I was surprised. Or maybe they should have taken some shots. That wasn't what they wanted to do, dude. You know?
Yeah.
That's really not what they wanted to do. They felt they could run it on them. And they could felt the big feeling in the building, too, Jerry, was that the defense could really control that part of the game. You know?
Yeah.
And for the most part, they did. I mean, they gave up a lot of garbage yards, too. I know the total was 370 for Houston, whatever they have. But they gave up a lot of garbage yards, too.
Yeah, so, at the end, a lot of passing at the end. Yeah, so I think he threw for like 285 or something. A lot of those.
Yeah, he threw for 300 yards, Mills. But probably the last 100 or 80 was a lot of, you know, giving up 20-yard chunks, 20-yard chunks, you know. They've kind of given it to him, you know. So that was the kind of feeling. I mean, I'm not going to – I can't really, you know, it is what it is, Jerry. You're like, you know, they throw the ball a guy there. It could have been a nice chunk play. He drops it, you know.
Yeah, that could have been a 20, 25-yard game.
Or, all they really have is Slayton now, believe it or not. And I was saying that, right? All they really have is Slayton. You know, Wandell could get some, move the sticks a little bit from the slot. And Saquon, that's what they have, you know? And so that that's how they felt they could have won the game. So look, I understand your point, dude. I get it. But me personally, I'm not going to, I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, they should have kind of thrown the ball a little bit more. I was hoping for that, you know, because it was successful what they did, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and this is an attempt to not be a homer every week and come on, but also I love that I'm at the point where my team is 7-2 and I'm questioning, well, could we have won by more? Like, wow, okay, you know, let's put it in perspective, right? But look, man, you said it, they rode Saquon, and I mean, what a workhorse he's turned into, dude. Running, but I love that he gets his longest game yesterday. I think was 27 yards.
Yeah.
Which shows you that a lot of it's like after first contact, and you know he's getting the tough yards now. Like he's even the buttons that even as great as Saquon is, Dable and Kafka have pushed the right buttons with him and gotten him to be the back that we want him to be between the tackles. Like what a phenomenal season he's having. I mean, he is. Oh God, I hope they figure out how to keep him, but. Man, it's just so much fun watching him.
Yeah, sounds like they're going to try to figure it out, dude. They still have to figure it out.
It's just so much fun watching him, Chris. That's all.
Yeah, dude, Jerry, we know this, bro. The kid's a great player when he's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what, Jerry? He's pretty good when you have an offensive line that can actually block.
Right.
Right. You know? Right. The kid's pretty good when you have an offensive line that can block. You know? And let me tell you something. These aren't toss lefts, toss rights, outside zone, stretch zone runs. These are gap runs he's mostly running. They're gap runs with some zones, inside zones mixed in.
Right.
Or an outside zone mixed in. But he's been mostly running gap runs. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, Saquon's getting tough yards between the tackles. Hitting it up in there, brother. That's what he's doing. Right. You know?
Yeah, I love it. Dude, I love it.
You know, 35 carries. Now, Jerry, me personally, if you want to talk about nitpicking, I'm going to nitpick just a bit here, okay? I don't want to see Saquon get 35 carries, dude.
You got Matt Breida, man. He's capable to fill in more.
Even right. Brightwell, bro. You know?
Right, yes. Yeah.
Because, let's face it, dude. You're thinking, right now the Giants are the fifth seed in the NFC.
That's insane.
If the playoffs started today, they'd be going down to play Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So you're thinking now, we're at the point, obviously... And especially with the NFC shaping up with these records, we're at the point now where you're thinking kind of long term, January. And I love Saquon getting the ball a lot, but man, I kind of hope that 35 carries, dude. And I was with Saquon in the locker room after the game, and he was good, but he walked out. He was walking a little slow. You could tell, like, man, I'm exhausted. Of course, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So how about, you know, down the road, we really don't want to see a totally, completely beat up Saquon by weeks 15, 16. I hope Dable and Kafka kind of, you know, look, you're going to need him to win games. I'm not saying that. He's got to get the ball a lot. It's Saquon. He's got to get the ball a lot. But 35 carries, you know, I hope that's kind of like... okay, that happened. Remember back in against the Texans, he ran the ball 35 times.
Yeah, you want that to be more.
You don't want that to be the norm. Absolutely, you want that. Yeah, you know, totally. You know what I mean. You totally don't want that to be the norm, which I'm sure it isn't. I mean, it hasn't been a norm this year. He's gotten the ball 20 times, 20 plus, all that. But dude, that was a lot of carries. He came through 150 plus.
Yeah.
And Saquon with Saquon, you know. Houston really had problems at times, you know. He got a lot of those tough yards, like you said, man, and getting in the end zone again. You know, but I just, if there's one thing I could, you know, maybe, I like to see Breida, even Brightwell, you know, kind of lighten that load a little bit, you know, because that's a lot of carries, bro. That's a lot of carries.
Yeah, and Brightwell would be more of a change of pace, more of a bruising back, no, than the other two.
Yeah,
so
he's a guy who can get up in there.
Maybe get him in there.
Yeah, get you 3-4 yards, you know, like he's done a few times, you know. And you got to remember, too, Jerry, you know, they're playing the Lions Sunday and then they're back on short rest against the Cowboys, you know, 4 days later. So we'll see what happens. But obviously an outstanding effort by, I thought John Feliciano.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel. Really played well yesterday, especially Feliciano. I was talking to John in the locker room after the game yesterday. You know, I thought he has a lot of great blocks, man, moving people off the ball. And Ezidio had a, I was talking to him too. Yes, you know, he had a big block of that Saquon run. I initially put on Twitter, oh, Feliciano with the big block. And then I looked at it again. I said, oh, let me put Ezidio in here because Ezidio moved his guy off the ball too. And Saquon slipped in the end zone. I got in the end zone. So a lot of good things up front, man. And Andrew Thomas was, I mean, Jerry, I don't know if you noticed this, but I saw about two or three times Andrew Thomas. Boom! At the line of scrimmage, gets in the second level. Boom! Hits another guy.
He's ridiculous.
I mean, right now, he's ridiculous, bro. Like you just said. He's ridiculous right now, bro.
Yeah.
So, just another great game from Andrew.
And even the announcers were talking about Feliciano, by the way.
Oh, they were?
Okay. Oh, yeah, they were pointing him out. What a great job he was doing. So, nice job by you. But yeah, dude, I mean, Andrew Thomas is superb. Like, you run out of adjectives for the guy. I mean, he's playing at such another level. And I laugh because one of the things I wrote this week was about the question you posed to me. You'll see it in the next issue. When you said, of these guys, who would you keep? And then that you asked, you know what, add Andrew Thomas to that. And I laughed, dude, because if you look back to like week three, 2021, forget even 2 years ago. Say week three or week four of last year. I don't know if you keep any of these guys other than Julian Love. And now Andrew Thomas is someone where you're like, oh my God, dude, this is the guy. Please be here for another 10 years. Thank you. What a great draft pick. He's working out beautifully. And this is coaching too, right? The job Bobby Johnson's done. I mean, he's getting the most out of these guys. And he's just really blossomed into an incredible, incredible left tackle, bro. Unbelievable.
Yeah, one of the best in the game, bro. No question about it, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of good blocks up front. Yeah, there was one time he just like smoked two guys. You know, and Saquon followed him up outside there. And just what more can you say about it? I think he had zero pressures allowed again. You know, I know they only threw the ball like 17 times or whatever, but still, zero pressures allowed. Hey, they did give up a couple of sacks in those pass attempts, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, Phillips gave one, Golinski gave one, you know. But Andrew was just like, hey, dude, we're not worried about that left side anymore. It's like incredible. It really is.
And can I say, you know, a couple of comments on the third sack or one of the sacks where Jones took a while. I got to be honest with you, dude. I'm just happy he's holding on to the ball now. Look, I mean, I don't want to jinx him, but through what, 9 weeks, he has four turnovers.
Yep.
That's another thing that this staff worked on, right? Like, I don't want sacks, obviously. You want him to throw the ball away. But he used to fumble every time that he was hit before. Now he's not. Like, I mean, there's something positive to be taken out of everything here. I guess my point with this team, Chris, that's all.
Well, Jerry, I don't think there's any question that sack he took in the fourth quarter, where he could have maybe thrown it out of bounds. He was out of the pocket.
That's the one.
But you know what? Daniel probably in the years past would have tried to force something there and maybe turn it over. Okay? Right. I don't think there's any question. As he was rolling right, didn't see anybody, Brian Daboll was in his head. He could hear Daboll saying, hey, sometimes there's good sacks. Don't do anything stupid.
Right. Don't try to make a play that's not
and
there.
I saw people on Twitter like destroying me. Not destroying me, but like, oh, come on, Chrissy. You can't take a sack. It's negative yardage. First of all, it wasn't really negative yardage because it didn't affect Jamie Gillen's punt. You know, it wasn't like they knocked it back to about 30, you know?
Yeah.
Two, it kept the clock running when they had the lead. Three, he didn't try to force anything. So that was Brian Daboll in his head. I believe, totally believe this, like saying, don't, you know, there's no such thing as a, I mean, it could be good sacks. That was a good sack, right, in my opinion. Bob Papa, the voice of the Giants, he was on the radio this morning, and he goes, he was talking with Charlie Weiss, his partner on NFL Sirius, and he said, you know what, Coach Weiss, he goes, one of the players I was most impressed about was Daniel Jones yesterday, rolling right, taking the sack. And Weiss goes, hey, Bill Parcells used to say, sometimes a sack is a good sack.
Yeah.
So to me, that was a good sack, bro. You know, I didn't mind it because it kept the clock going. He didn't force anything. Which you are now seeing a guy up in Buffalo in his first year without Brian Daboll.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Go ahead.
In his first year without Brian Daboll in a while, is doing some stupid shit, stuff. in the plus territory.
I just said this to someone that I think he misses Dable. Go ahead. Sorry, bud.
And the one play that Daniel really did something stupid this year in the red zone plus territory / red zone was opening game against the Titans. Yep. And when he came to the sideline, Brian Dable tore into him.
Yeah.
And guess what? He hasn't made that mistake since. Now, I don't know what's going on. I don't cover the Bills. I don't know exactly what's going right up there, but I do have two eyeballs. And I watch all these freaking games, and if I miss the game, I watch it down the road during the week, or I see the highlights, whatever it might be, and I see what the hell's going on. And that's all I'm saying is that, you know, something Daniel didn't do yesterday? Mm-hmm. Josh Allen's doing up in Buffalo right now. And I'm not comparing the two. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting at that. Brian Dable, I think, was in Daniel's head, and he could just hear the voice, Jerry, as he was rolling. Nothing stupid. All right, you know what? Let me take the sack. No big deal.
Chris, we're going to stay on this. We're going to take a break first, guys. We'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back. Chris, I reacted that way because I literally said the same thing to someone this morning that you don't know, right? You're not there. But without Dable, Josh Allen's been a lot more careless lately, and last week was even worse than yesterday. And the knock on Josh Allen coming out of college, everybody, you know, look, oh, the Giants should have drafted Allen, blah, blah, blah. Okay, maybe, fine. But the knock on him coming out of college was that he didn't check down when he could, and he would take too many chances down the field. And you're starting to see some of those old habits come back. And what's the difference this year? Well, we have Dable now. And all of a sudden, our quarterback is hanging on to the ball. He's not throwing the stupid pick. Again, knock on wood. Hope it doesn't happen next week or the week after. But, you know, Daniel Jones is playing smart football now. He's playing careful football. Not to the point where he's not taking any chances, but he's much more careful with the ball. So I reacted that way because I literally said the same thing this morning about Josh Allen.
I tell you what, dude. The Slayton touchdown. I mean, that was just a great play by Daniel. He knew he was going to get...
Oh, that was underrated throw, dude. Underrated throw.
He knew he was going to get belted.
Yep,
he got that ball out enough, right? To get... saw... And I asked him about it in the post-game press, and he said he saw Slayton on a break, and he knew it was there. Yep. And he got rid of it. And Slayton, we all know, and with a little help from Tanner Hudson, did the rest. But that was a great play by Daniel, bro.
Yep.
That was a great play by Daniel, you know. Couple of nice throws of Hodgins, you know. Galladay, the one bad drop. The one looked like he had Galladay. He kind of a little bit let him out a little too much. Galladay could have got it. It was a tough call. They didn't rule that as a drop. But, you know, but Daniel, once again, very efficient. Highest quarterback rating in his career was yesterday. I know it wasn't 30 attempts.
153.
I know it wasn't 30 attempts, but still, you know.
Yeah.
And a nice, you know, nice little design by Mike Kafka and Dable with Lawrence Cager. Nice, you know, Cager with that touchdown to Lawrence. Another guy, right, Jerry, added a scrap heap like Jason Pinnock, Jets released both. And these guys are getting something out of him. I mean, Cager with that little high route behind the line, cut out to the flat, boom, nobody even sees him, touchdown. Jason Pinnock, I mean, this is what I'm talking about coaching, you know. Jason Pinnock, after the game, that's in the locker room. Somebody asked him about, you know, oh, we didn't know you were a blitzer, you know. And Jason Pinnock said, I don't know if it's Pinnock or Pinnock. Anyway, I think it's Pinnock. Anyway, Pinnock said, well, you know, during a week of practice, I was coming off the edge pretty good. Hmm. And Wink grabbed him and says, you know what? I like the way you're coming off that edge. Get ready for it Sunday. Well, he had a sack and a half.
That's how those decisions are made.
But Jerry, this is what I'm talking about. You know, these guys, they see that and go, okay, we're going to do that. You know, I like the way, like, Dable practices fast, man. Dable practices pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going at it, you know, and you're putting certain things in during the week, and Wink picks it up and says, you know what? I like the way this guy's coming off the edge, you know?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Sack and a half, couple quarterback hits, pressures, the whole deal, right? And they're just getting everything out of everybody, bro. I mean, it's like, even Isaiah Hodges yesterday, he comes in two nice plays, you know? So, you know, he played the whole second half and at the X position for Galladay and, you know, Mason did a few things.
Brian and I text me, who the hell's this? Who's this guy? I said, we just signed him 5 days ago. It's hilarious, dude. Signed him this week and he's contributing at two catches. Two nice catches. Nice plays. I was going to say before, dude, Daniel Jones has thrown touchdowns to three tight ends on this roster. Bellinger, Myrick, and Cager. That's unbelievable hearing those. Well, not so much the first one, but the other two names that Jones has thrown.
I guess Tan is next, huh?
Sunday. Yeah, he should, right?
I guess Tan is coming in Sunday.
He's pissed off. Yeah. I got to ask you, dude, again, and for some reason, I still feel for the guy. I'm not like, I can't stand him, get rid of him. I actually feel for Kenny Galladay because, Chris, this has to be in his head now.
Yeah, it is.
Right? This is not just a physical thing. Physical, okay, you can't get open like you used to, but this is a mental issue now. Yeah. And I actually feel for the guy because yesterday was an embarrassment. Like, that second one he dropped, well, the first one, again, was a little far, but the second one right in his arms, it's like, oh, Kenny, come on, man. You're
going to
get booed now. And
Yeah,
just feel for the guy. It's weird.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was just a horrific drop, and then the boo birds came out. You know, rightfully so. You know, fans are frustrated, man. You know?
Yeah.
And like you said, dude, after that, he came off the field. I just saw Dable looking at him, and I was like, oh, man, I could see him not even being back on the field again, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way it turned out. You know, Dable, he's not going to stand for crap, man, you know. So he obviously, you know, we'll see what happens with him down the road.
I was going to ask you that. If everyone else stays healthy at receiver, have we seen the last of him, you think?
Who sits, you know? I mean, yesterday Sills sat, right. You know. Does Galladay sit? Dude, it's possible. We'll see how the practice goes. Like, Dable kind of hinted at that after the game. He says, we'll... You know, he was kind of asked about, you know, is that it for Galladay? Are you going to... And Dable, well, we have practice during the week, and whoever practices well. So, Jerry, if Galladay has a real good week of practice, I can see him being back out there a little bit. Now, I'm not going to say 50 snaps, Jerry. But yeah. I can see him getting some snaps Sunday, you know.
But because with Galladay, like, he's reminding me of, like, Chuck Knobloch not throwing to first. Mackie Sasser not throwing back to the pitcher. Like, this is in his head now, and it's a shame. I wish he could use the same... whatever that Slayton used to now catch the ball. Like I hope he suits up against Detroit and I hope he does well. Like this isn't Kadarius Toney where I'm like later, you know, we've seen enough, dude. Goodbye. This is, come on. Like catch a ball, Kenny.
Yeah. So. I mean, like you said, dude, it's obviously in his head, you know, it's obviously psychological now. That's just an easy ball he drops yesterday. So they'll practice him this week, Jerry, obviously with Isaiah Hodgson and, you know, Sills will be practicing and they're going to see how they practice during the week, bro. You know, look, if Galladay comes out during the week of practice, and I get it. I know people are like, Chris, it's practice. He's got to do it in the game. I get it. I'm just telling you the way the process works, okay?
right.
I'm not making this.
He looks great in practice.
I mean, I'm not making – you know, I talk to Dable on the side, but I'm not making decisions. He's not asking me who the hell I think he should play, so.
The Twitter followers are going to say, oh, yeah, Kenny Galladay looks good in wheel routes. Multiple wheel routes we keep seeing, right, Chris?
So, you know, look, you know – if he has a solid week of practice and he's making some contested catches and looks really good, you might see him back out there. You know, if he has a mediocre week, he might be inactive. Yeah. Sills back in, you know. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Man, we'll see how it goes. Well, either way, is it going to surprise you, Jerry, if he's inactive next week? No. Will it surprise you if he is active? To me, no. That wouldn't surprise me. It means he had a good week of practice, dude.
This is the only receiving core in the league where Kenny Galladay could still have a shot at contributing this year. So sad.
Yeah, because they just don't. They need the bodies. But, you know, at the same time, you know, Isaiah Hodgins, man, he has a solid week of practice and, you know, he learns, you know, gets some more trust going with Daniel, learns assist. Obviously, he's going to learn the playbook more. Hey, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go, Mr. X. You're the X-man now. Get out there, you know?
Yeah, go get him, kid.
He looks exactly like Galladay. The one catch he had. I was like, oh,
it was him.
I was like, oh, Kenny. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's not it. It like built the same, you know? I was like, oh, crap.
And he's even number 18 instead of 19.
Right.
You don't even
know until
he gets up and flips the ball to the ref.
Yeah, I was like, oh, crap. You know, I was like, that looked like Kent Galladay, you know? So on the flip side, Jerry, I mean, how about Darius Slayton, bro?
Yeah.
I mean, how about Darius Slayton?
Look, consummate professional.
The guy was not an afterthought beginning of the year, not even active. A little buzz about him, maybe being traded.
Everyone was cutting him to save like $1 million.
Who was cutting him? Those rumors. Oh, that was never even close, by the way, those rumors. But you know, but here we are. So what did he do, dude? He just kept working, bro. He kept working. He kept working. No complaining. You know, like you see in Jets land, everybody's complaining about targets, balls. I want out. I want to get traded. I want this. I want that. Right? He just came into work. Came in every day to the facility, went to work, and said, you know what? I'm going to work my way back. He makes a comment yesterday, you know, after the game, somebody asking him about, you know, about not playing as much. And he, you know, he just said, hey, that's not what my parents told me, man. My parents always said to me, well, what are you doing that you're not getting on the field or you're not getting the balls donated? Look at yourself, you know? Right. And that's what Darius did, man. Look, I put on Twitter today, Jerry. You know, I'm around Slayton all the time. And he's been the same even-keeled dude, bro. Not one time blowing the media off. No attitude. No hiding in the shower while the media's in there. Same steady, classy, professional answers. And I'm happy for the dude, bro, because he's a good guy. And now he's really contributing to his team. He's a number one receiver by far right now, right? Yeah. Big play, touchdown yesterday, getting chunk yards. Is he the most polished receiver? Of course not, dude. You know, we know that, you know. But he is making a difference right now. When you see a play he made yesterday, that's making a difference. That's making an impact, and that's what he's doing
right now.
It
looked like he was shot out of a cannon down that sideline. Yeah, you forget how fast
he's going. Well, we all know that, dude. He's fast, you know.
But it looked like he caught the Texans by surprise as to how fast he was.
I think he might have. Yes, I think he might have.
Looked like the guy had the safety or whoever came
Jalen
over had
Petrie,
the angle.
Yeah, Petrie had him, yeah.
Well, Petrie missed him, but the other guy coming over down the field,
right.
I was like, oh, wow.
Right.
It looked like
he outran him. I think it was Owens. I think Owens was like, oh, crap.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I think it was Owens, and he was, and there was no catching him. You know, it was, like you said, I think they might have underestimated how fast he is, Slayton, you know?
Do you think he's part of the future, or is it just we're going to enjoy this year?
I don't know. We'll enjoy it. We'll enjoy it this year. You know, was this his fourth year, dude?
19,
is this his last year?
20, 21, 22.
Yeah, 4 years. Is this his last year? Rookie cut? So we'll see.
Yeah, because he was there with Shermer. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, who do they draft? Who do they bring in? All that. Look, Jerry, me personally, I would have no problem with him being back another year. So, you know, I really
would. Would love it. Yeah,
I really would. You know?
But before we go to defense, because we always, not that we always, but we're going to jump over. I don't want to miss special teams. The Scottish Hammer. I love that he can blast the ball 70 yards, but
it's not all about
dude,
that.
At some point, like, can you just blast it 70 yards out of bounds? Like, make a game out of it and try to hit the first row on the sidelines. Like, you know, the one where we had a net of 20 right after the Anderson false start. You know, it went into the end zone, of course, and then another one he punted at 14 yards, like. That's got to be worked on, dude, or, you know, we're going to have to do something there, too, because we can't just keep putting it in it. The one guy who puts it in the end zone all the time shouldn't be. And then the other side, we got a guy who can blast it into the first row on the kickoff, and we still do, again, complaining much less than about the other. You know, they did the short kickoff again, and he got past the 30. It's like, please, guys, stop with the damn short kickoff. I know I'm nitpicking, but I can't stand that because I know they're going to get past the 30, 35. Stop doing it. But much more important, the punting situation, that's got to get improved, dude, because that's going to come back and hurt us.
Yeah, and he put one right down the middle of the field again, right, where you didn't want to do that. He put one down the middle of the field. And you're starting to see a little bit why the Browns kind of let him go. That's what you're seeing. You know, you're starting to see that now. Yeah. Like you said, he'll hit with 90 yards, 100 yards, whatever the hell it might be. And then, you know, but there's more things in punting than just, you know, try to launch one 70 yards, you know. He's done a lot
like
of good
Rodney
things.
Williams.
And he's done some things where you needed it, you know, inside the 20 where it's gone in the end zone. Yeah. Yesterday he had like a 15-yard punt, whatever you said, 14-yard punt.
It was 14.
And that was the punt after Dable ripped him a new you-know-what when he came off the field. I don't know if that scared him, you know. And then the one that, I was like, oh my God. He's like right down the middle of the field. That's not what you want, you know? So he's had a little too many of those too. A little inconsistent the last 3-4 weeks, you know. And they gotta try to, you know, kind of straighten that out, clean that up a little bit. like you said, dude, in a tough game against Dallas, you know, whatever it might be down the road, you know, field position wise or big return on you could cost you a game. You know, could cost you a game. Right? Yeah. It's the Eagles, you know, stuff like that. So.
And I don't, nitpicking a little bit. I mean, that
is not nitpicking. You're pointing out the reality, Jerry. That's not nitpicking. Yeah. I think if everybody sat, and even McGahee, I'm sure today, when he looked at the game again last night or this morning, I'm sure he's sitting there saying, hey, Jamie, we can't have this and this and that. That's not nitpicking. That's reality, bro. You know, so.
And with Gano, gosh, just let him blast. Let him blast it. Take it at the 25. Don't get cute. We're not, you know, every time we cut it short.
That's not Gano, Jerry.
I know.
Yeah. That's what they want to do.
We have a guy who can do it every time, and it seems like, we get cute, so.
Yeah, that's planned, you know. Me personally, I'm with you, dude. Put it through the end zone. You know, I don't have that much faith in our special teams. Like, okay, we'll hold them shorter than 25. You know, I really don't. So.
We don't have Larry Flowers and Renee Thompson running down the field, guys. I mean, Cam Brown's good, but that's it. Come on, let's just kick it to the end zone and concede the 25 yard line. So at least we touched on special teams this week. Sometimes
and Graham Gano, dude. Look, once again, big field goal, 49 yarder. Wind was whipping down there, Joe. You might not have seen it on TV, dude.
It was funny because someone asked me and I said, I don't think so. But then I saw your tweet. You're like, no, they were swirling winds.
Yeah,
so,
you know what? The flags weren't whipping, right?
Yeah.
But on the field, the wind was swirling. And, the wind was whipping up pretty good. And then Graham Gano told me after the game, he said, no, it was whipping pretty good then. He goes, we didn't have any doubt. You know, we already know before the drive ends, you know, Dable confers with McGahee, you know, and McGahee obviously goes to Gano, you know, and McGahee tells Dable exactly where they're good from. That's what happens, you know.
Yeah.
So Dable knew he was good from a certain distance, and he knew from 49 and you know, that, hey, we're going to kick it. But I was curious about whether or not there was a little indecision because the winds were whipping down there. It was whipping down in the field, and it was whipping kind of like, Graham told me he was doing a little funky whip down there on that side of the field. But Gano, once again, it was so freaking funny. So talking to Gano about it, the first thing out of his mouth was, he goes, I was kind of upset they didn't mark it a 50-yard. I'm like, why? He goes, fantasy points, dude.
That is a difference.
I said, Graham, I'm not a fantasy player. Okay, I know. He goes, you're not a fantasy player. What do you mean you're not a fantasy player? I said, no, I'm not a fantasy player. He goes, He goes, would you take me?
It usually means 5 points instead of three.
Yeah, Jerry, I didn't even know that, dude. I haven't played fantasy so long. I looked at him. I was like, oh, okay. And he started breaking my chops about, you're not a fantasy player? He goes, would you have me in your fantasy? I said, yeah, of course, Graham, I would have you. Of course I would draft you. You know. But that was the first thing out of his mouth. He goes, you know, besides like, oh, no, there was no indecision. We knew what we were going to do. But damn, I wish it was 50-yard instead of 49. It goes, fantasy points. I was freaking laughing.
So I'll give you a funny fantasy story real quick because you brought it up. I cut Aaron Rodgers this week because he hasn't done anything all year, and I have Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a ridiculous fantasy quarterback. So I cut Aaron Rodgers. Like it affects him in real life, right? Like, oh, I'm going to cut Aaron Rodgers and prove a point here.
Yeah.
Well, my opponent picked him up and played against me yesterday.
I beat you.
And that put him over. Yeah, so he's over.
That's about your luck.
Unless Terry McLaurin gets 90 yards and a touchdown tonight, I lose.
Well, that's a possibility, bro. So you're still in the game. You're still in it.
I'm in it, but if I didn't do that, I just wouldn't even been going into the night.
I think that just about sums up your fantasy football career, right? Right there, that move, right?
Yeah, totally. I should be fired from my own team for that
move. Dude, I would have probably did the same thing. When I used to play years ago, I was the same way. I would bench a guy. The guy would be great. Oh my God. That's why I gave up on it. I couldn't do it anymore. I was so horrible at it, dude. I was so freaking horrible at it.
I did sit this stupid Kansas City running back, Allaire, who gets like either three touchdowns or no yards. He got no yards yesterday, and I substituted him with Wandale Robinson.
Oh, really? 3 points. I thought you were going to say Kadarius Toney.
No, I tried to get him, but he...
somebody picked him up?
Another guy I cut. Gotcha. He's another guy I cut earlier in the year. Yeah, so my cuts have been not good this year.
So
that's it. Anyway, all right, guys, we're going to get to the defense now, but we're going to take a break first. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Dexter Lawrence, Chris.
Not bad.
He's all right.
Huh? How's he doing, all right?
Not a bad player.
I was like, he came out of the shower yesterday. I happened to be standing by his locker. He came walking over the shower. I just laughed at him. I said, dude, I mean, are you kidding me right now? And he said, what do you mean? He's such a great dude. He really is. He goes, what do you mean? I go, I mean, you just, dude, you're freaking dominating. I said, now, enough now. I go, now you're getting crazy. I said, now you're starting to get into like elite DT talk now. I'm laughing. I'm broken at breaking his chops. You know what I mean? Yeah. But dude, I mean, he was all over the, he was dominating up front. What do you have, five quarterback hits, four quarterback hits?
Oh,
what
a, five hits, a sack, hold on, five tackles.
Yeah. Was it five?
Tackle for loss.
Was it five, Jerry? Yeah.
And a pass defense. Yes, it was. Yep.
Yes, Jerry, you're right. Five.
Yeah.
One TFL, one sack, you know, the whole deal, disrupting every damn thing. Him and Leo Williams was just unbelievable yesterday. Leo was unbelievable too yesterday. He was like a beast, you know. What more can you say about Dexter, man? You know, I don't know.
Dude, if, he
did you hear his post game presser, Dexter?
No, I didn't.
Well, it was pretty funny. We had a funny moment because when he was a rookie, you know, all you heard about was he's a big run stuff in defensive line, doesn't really push the pocket. Remember, Jerry? And they'll get him and says, don't let that fool you. He could get. And he really, you know, and I reminded him of that yesterday in the postgame press. I said, Dex, I know you're not going to remember this, but I said, but do you remember? I said, but you told me back your rookie year, I said, when you were talking about you being a run stuffing defensive lineman, and you looked at me and said, don't forget about my pass rush now, you know? I said, oh, okay. You know, Jerry, he was a rookie at the time. He really wasn't doing much pushing the pocket. I'm saying to myself, oh, okay, whatever, you know? Yeah. And he laughed. I brought that up yesterday at the postgame press. I said, now, I said, do you feel like you're showing this league, hey, I'm more than a run stuffer. I can really push. Like you told me your rookie year. Hey, don't forget about my pass rush. Well, here it is. And Jerry, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing, dude. He's a disruptive inside the force where he pushes the pocket, quarterback hits. And look, the rough in the pass, it was just something he kind of tried to get the quarterback down. He dove too long. You know, it wasn't like it was a late, ridiculous hit, you know. You know, he's got to know better than that. Don't get me wrong, Jerry. You know, he's got to know you can't hit the quarterback low. But it wasn't like it was a malicious, like, oh, let me take three extra steps and destroy him. You know, something stupid, I should say. Something stupid, you know. Guy's playing unbelievable, dude. What more can you say, Jerry? The guy's playing unbelievable football.
The best compliment I can give Dexter Lawrence right now is Leonard Williams had an insane game yesterday. And in my opinion, was completely overshadowed by Dexter Lawrence.
Amazing.
Now, Leonard Williams was awesome.
Yep.
But I looked at his stat line. I go, oh my God, he's hit nine tackles. Yep. I just saw Lawrence everywhere. Like, Lawrence played a game where if you've never watched football before and watched the Giants defense, you're like, who the hell is number 97? Yeah. This guy's a monster.
Yeah, exactly.
He was ridiculous yesterday.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
You'd be like, if you looked at him, you'd be like, oh, that guy's one of the best defensive tackles in the game, right? If you never saw him. And he, don't get me wrong, he's shaping up to be one of the better right now. You know, but look, we haven't seen this. This is his fourth year, and this we've seen good football at Dex. Don't get me wrong, good football. But, dude, this is dominating football he's playing this year.
No, this is just, he's just blowing guys up.
Just dominating football.
Yeah.
That's what him and Lawrence, I mean, excuse me, Leo, the last two games, Leo's played his best two games. The last two games, he's been unbelievable. And Dex has been like that basically since game one, bro. Yeah. Game one.
Yeah.
And he's going to get big money with this team, Jerry. Because, you know, those guys, those interior guys now that push the pocket, they're getting paid well, brother. And he's going to be a giant. You know, that's going to be another one, Joe, in a couple of years. You know, he's got the 50-year option next year. No reason to do it now. But that's going to be another one that's going to be sticking around here. Just a little tidbit. You know, I like to talk about this, dude, right? Somebody whispered in my ear yesterday that the Giants are very much interested in bringing Julian Love back. That they love, no pun intended, Julian Love, and they're going to do everything they could to make this work, dude. So just want to let you know that, Jerry Foley, that Julian Love, there's a very good chance he stays in blue for a while, which
I would
makes
expect you to
happy.
Throw a party about it.
Well,
I would expect
I probably will.
When the Giants sign everybody, re-sign everyone, when they figure this out and re-sign, I would expect you to have
will have a little Julian Love party. Yes, I will. Okay? Now, speaking of Golden Domus.
Yeah.
My boy Jalen Smith, missed tackles, dude.
Yeah, two fumble recoveries though. Like he,
I know.
I don't know.
I know, but
isn't it funny? You're the. I'm like, well, don't be so hard on him.
I love Jalen, man. I love him.
Yeah.
But
you
just see so many things where you say, remember you asked me earlier, Jerry, Chris, why do you think this guy didn't get picked up? You know what?
Yeah.
And you look at some of the things and you say, misreads, not getting off a block at a one big pass run, missed tackle leading to Jordan Akins, big freaking gain. Yeah. And you look at those things, Jerry, and believe me, you know, you can't hide shit in this league, bro. Everything's on film. And you say to yourself, well, Mr. Foley, that's probably a lot of one of the many reasons why. I hate to admit it. I love Jalen, Notre Dame guy, but does some good things, does some bad things. You know, and some yesterday.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I don't know what to expect from him. So when he recovers two fumbles, I'm like, well, he was in on the play, I guess. But, yeah, look, it is what it is. That's an obvious upgrade. Lawrence Tynes said it with us. Inside linebacker is an upgrade. Micah McFadden, I saw, got a lot more playing time, almost had a pick. But they need help at inside linebacker.
Jerry, did that go off his hands, McFadden?
It did.
Oh, okay, because I couldn't really tell.
Oh, but it was high. It was high.
No, I know. But did he get his fingers on it?
Yes.
He should have caught it. But I'm saying, did he get his actual fingers? Yeah, okay, because I couldn't tell from the booth. Okay, got it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But you got Darren Beavers coming back next year, but they're still going to have to address that, whether it's free agency or the draft.
Yeah, they're going to address. I'm sure they're going to address it in the draft, bro. You know,
inside linebackers. It's a little rough.
Look, they're going to need help in there. You know, and Wink knows it. You know, Wink knows it. So, basically overall, pretty good job on Pierce. I know we had that one big chunk run, but basically overall, not a bad job in him. A lot of garbage yards for Mills. Got him over 300.
Yeah.
A nice double move by Nico. Nico there, Collins. Maybe got away with a little bit of a push there on Fabian.
He did.
You know, they won't be nitpicking the refs yesterday, so I can't complain, dude.
It's fine. Right.
I can't complain. As long as you're consistent, right? Because you don't want to see that, Jerry. And then a giant receiver maybe pushes off, or a guy touches a guy in a second. Oh, flag! You know what I mean? So typical NFL, dude, they blast you the first 8 weeks of the season and you want to make the tone set. Oh, we're going to go after this year, legal contact down a few. And you see a ton of flags and then it starts to ease up as the season moves. And in the playoffs, you could get out there with an Uzi, shoot somebody, be no flag. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's the same thing, right? And you start to see that now. I thought maybe Collins pushed off a little bit on it. What are you going to do? I mean, you know, as long as it's consistent, dude. You know what I mean? I mean, but.
Yeah, and like, I wasn't. Like, you saw that play, and like, oh, it's a good play by Collins. Like, Moreau was there, right? It was just a good play by Collins.
It's a good play. Yeah. Adoree did a pretty good job. I think he was targeted like 10 times, I wrote it down. So, 6 completions on 10 targets or something. For the most part, Adoree, you know. I'm sorry. Yeah, 10. Yeah, 4 for 10. You know, Adoree, that's a good job. So, the most part, he did it. Dane Belton. Look, he was late.
Nice play.
He got away with one due to a holding call. He was a little late getting over on Cooks on that touchdown. Mm-hmm. And he admitted it. You know, he admitted it. And then they turn around and he gets the interception on the same drop when he tries to force it in. So that's it is.
And who hit Mills on that play? Do you know?
I think it was Dex, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Dex. Forced that kind of late throw because he didn't get everything into it. I mean, again, another play where Dexter Lawrence just forced his will upon the Houston Texans. I got a question for you. Again, I'll play a devil's advocate here. Are you a little disappointed in Kayvon Thibodeau yet?
Disappointed? No. I'm not disappointed. I would just like to see a little bit more in the pass rush game. Now, he's playing the run well, Jerry.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I was watching him yesterday, dude. He's smart, bro. He's no dummy. He'll seal that edge when he has to. On those little, you know, he's playing the run pretty well, but we all know he's not really paid here. It wasn't really brought in here to stop the run, right? right? That's all part of the package, and that's great. Don't get me wrong. That's great.
Yeah, sure.
But he was brought in here to get in that pocket, and he's been a little quiet the last few weeks, dude. He's been a little quiet.
Yeah, and I keep seeing him doing that inside spin move, and yesterday he did it a few times and was picked up by, the guard. So it was just, he kind of played right into it. I thought he would have had more sacks by now and done a little more in the pass rush. But I'm just saying, I just thought he would be a little further along so far. That's all.
So you're disappointed?
I'm not disappointed. I
You just asked me, which means that you're disappointed.
A little disappointed in the pass rush. That's all.
Okay. That's fair. You know, listen, so am I. I hate to say it at this point, but I just expected a little bit more. I thought.
Yeah, disappointed is the wrong word. I should have said that. Yeah.
Because like 3 or 4 games ago, he started affecting that pocket, right?
Right.
Last few games, he's been pretty quiet, but that happens. He's a rookie. You know what, Jerry? You know how this works, bro. He'll come out. Oh, no, they're playing Decker and Penny Sewell next week. But he'll come out. He'll come out next week, and he might affect. Dallas. It's all a process, bro. But you know what, dude, Jerry, I'm watching him, dude. I'm watching him a lot. He's playing his butt off, Jerry. He plays the run.
No, I know.
He's playing the run pretty good, bro. He's playing the run, yeah. And I saw that in Oregon too. This isn't some freak thing. I saw that in Oregon. He plays the run. You know, yeah. Thibodeau yeah. played a run, but I think everybody's just expecting a little more because obviously he was brought in here to get to the quarterback. We know that, right, dude? Yeah, so hopefully, yeah. what we have, what? What are we, Jerry? 7-2. We have 8 games left. Hopefully, you start yeah. seeing that a little bit alone. You know, that. But Jerry, I'm not comparing nobody, but don't forget about a certain guy, number 92, his rookie year, right?
Oh no, he didn't get going until
right.
93, 4, 5, 6. I would say he didn't get going until his fourth or fifth year, really.
Right. So
96, 97.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, the process is a little slower than other guys, you know.
OC too.
You go to see a guy that Sunday that's his process is sped along a little quicker, and that's Aiden Hutchinson. He's got like 5-6 sacks, and he's been invisible at games. It's tough for rookies. We'll say, yeah. hey, look, yeah. Thibodeau comes out, has a 2-sack game, and then a 1-sack game. You know, next thing you know, he winds up at 8. Whatever, you know, so that's what we're hoping, but he's playing his butt off, dude. He's playing his butt off. I give him credit for that. He plays the run pretty good, and the sacks will come. Hopefully, pretty soon.
And Zimenez had a hit yesterday. But
Jerry, come on, dude! I thought that was a fumble. No.
So did I. Yeah, I don't know what the hell everybody's looking
was
at.
Was that obvious to overturn that?
Well, even TV was like, "Yeah, no, that's a pass." I'm like, "Really? Oh, okay, because right. my definition's off."
I thought it was like right here.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I did not see the. But
yeah,
they overruled.
I the same way.
Let's put it this way: the ruling on the field was a fumble. I did not think they had enough to overturn exactly. that.
I figured but whatever I was they wrong. Called was going to stick.
I put it on Twitter. I said this should stick. I didn't think they were going to overturn that, but I was wrong. They overturned it.
And I felt the same way. Whatever they called on the field should have stayed. Whether it was incomplete or fumble, they called a fumble. Then they changed it. But Zimenez, right? Like comes back and. Makes a play, albeit yeah. late in the game. He made a play.
Yeah, got there. He got there, Zimenez,
I just, look, Aziz Ojulari is the one that obviously everyone's probably most excited about coming back. And Evan Neal, to a lesser extent, but Aziz Ojulari. His fourth game is this week that he's going to be out. He can come back for the Dallas game. Do you think that they'll bring him back on a short week? Me neither.
We'll see this week in practice. We'll see how he's going. But I don't.
Yeah.
On a short week, that probably is going to rule him out, Jerry. But we'll find out more. We'll find out more during the end of this week,
Okay.
Because they play Detroit and obviously come back 3 days later. So 4 days later. So we'll find out a little bit more if you had it. But you were asking me, Chris, what are you thinking? Right now, I would say probably not. Probably not.
Okay.
They don't have the 10 days off for the Redskin game. Oh, listen to me. I'm still calling Washington. The Commanders.
I do too.
The Commanders game, so.
Well, dude.
So,
Is there anything else we want to talk about on defense?
No, that's it, man. So, look, they gave up those yards. Only the one little disappointment I had with the defense yesterday, Jerry. The Giants go out, they go out, they take that 14-3 lead, and they let Houston go right down the field to make it 14-10. I felt the game.
Yep.
You force them to punt there. Maybe the Giants could maybe start to wrap this up, But the defense allows them to go right down the field, So.
I don't know about you, but this was the first game of the year that started to annoy me because it was the first game of the year that I felt like we're better than this team. So when they came back 14, when it was 14-3, I thought, all right, here we go. Then it was 14-10. I'm like, oh, come on. You can't let this team score on you. So it was a weird, feeling this
week. Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Yeah. When they went down the field and cut it to 14-10 with 8 minutes left, I was like, whoa, man, that was a little bit of a disappointment. But and the Giants responded right back.
Yeah, they
did. To make it 21-10 and then... and that was it from there. So then, then they get the look, Jerry. It could have been a different story. Don't forget those two red zone. They don't get those two red zone turnovers. Who knows how this game turns out, man?
I know it's unbelievable, dude. Again with the red zone turnovers.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
The defense did what it's been doing all year. They gave up some yards, but they hold the team to 16 points. Their third down was 30%, 3-10. Their red zone was 1-6. Same story. That's why they're winning games, bro. So.
It's really incredible, dude. Wow. All right. We're 7-2, pal. It's unbelievable. 7-2 with a very good chance to go 8-2, but you don't want to put the cart before the horse. We'll talk about the Detroit Lions later in the week, sometime Thursday or Friday. We'll come back at you. And you know, also, I got to say, I did pick the Packers, so I don't know how the picks shaked out or shook out. Shaked, that's a word. How the picks shook out. But I was as happy last night watching the Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys, almost as happy as watching the Giants win. So that was what a nice bonus at the end of the day, dude. Oh, my God. Yep. That was awesome.
So. Yep. I think just Dallas proved once again you can't really take them seriously. they should have never lost that game. Do you know, Jerry Foley, I read this morning, that is the first time in Dallas Cowboy history that they blew a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter.
No, I did not know
that. Jerry, I didn't know it either. I saw it this morning.
Wow.
In their history, unbelievable, including the playoffs, they have never blown a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. So they made history yesterday. Congratulations, Dallas.
Nice. Congrats, Dallas. Good stuff. Anything else, pal?
No. Enjoy the game tonight. Check out those Eagles. Washington, we'll see what happens. Philly, cold night. Let's see if Washington can give them a tough game. I could tell you this. Deron Payne and their other big boy up front are just playing. Why am I drawing a blank? Oh, Jonathan Allen, playing off the charts. They could disrupt this game maybe a little bit for Washington. Keep it close. See what happens. You know, we'll see what happens.
So 80 yards and a touchdown gets me a win. So
That's possible. So
if McLaurin does that, folks, I expect congratulations on Twitter from
there
all of you.
There you go, man.
Of course, you know what he's going to get, right? He's going to get 70 yards and a touchdown, and I'm going to lose.
Probably, yeah. Knowing your luck, probably, yeah.
Yeah, for that, absolutely. All right, guys, to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's Magzter. We're 7-2, folks. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.